Shiz Masechta Midah Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us the halachas of a kuti and the daughters of kutim. How did the halacha look at that, view them? And the Mishnah said that a kuti, the halacha of a kuti, said the Mishnah is a kutim metamim nishta taktum kalim, that kutim men create tumah on what they sit, like on what's above them. And the Gemara immediately asks, what does this mean? My meshkav taktav kalyan. Exactly what is meant with this statement? Ilayma, does it mean, suggests the Gemara, the ikas sara matzos, that if there are 10 mattresses, the yosef alayu, and a kuti, who we are considering a boil nita, who we consider tamei, sits on all of those 10 mattresses, mitamale, that the all 10 will be tamei. Ask the Gemara, that's pshita, that is obvious that he will be tamei, because the halacha is the daras luhu, there is tumas medris, and the definition of tumas medris is that anything that one sits on, that's intended for sitting or laying, has tumas medris. So if you have here 10 mattresses, one above the other, so this is a classical situation of tumas medris. As the Rishonim will point out, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that it's obvious that there's tumas medris, because every type of tumah has to be learned from a pasuk that it is. However, the Gemara means to say that there's obvious in such a situation tumas medris, and that isn't what the Mishnah had to be teaching us. Elo, says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is teaching us is the tachtoina shabayil nida kal yoyne shalzav, the object which is below someone that's a boyal nida is treated like the Elyoyne Shalzov, something which is above the Zov, which we'll explain in a moment what that means. Ma'al Yoyne Shalzov, ene matama el oich l'ramashkin. Just like the halachi is by an Elyoyne Shalzov, it's not matama oich l'ramashkin. So too, af techtoyne shaboyal nida, what someone who is a boyal nida, someone who had relations with a nida, sits on, ene matama el oich l'ramashkin. So to explain the Gemara. As we said in our previous year as well, the Torah has two different degrees of tumah. The Torah has an ava tumah, and the Torah speaks about a rishonah tumah. And the halacha is that an av hatumah is metama adam v'kelim oichlin umashkin. A rishonah tumah is only metama adam oichlin umashkin, and it's not metama Odom v'keilim. Our Gemara is teaching us that the Elyoyne Shazov, which we haven't yet defined, but our Gemara is teaching us that the Elyoyne Shazov is considered like a Rishon Tuma, and since it's considered like a Rishon Tuma, it's only Matama Oichlin and Mashkin, it's not Matama Odom v'keilim. And the Gemara will derive this halacha from Pesukim in a moment. But now we need to stop for a moment and analyze exactly what is an Elyoyne Shalzov. Pasha Pshat, we would learn that the definition of Elyoyne Shalzov means that anything that the Zov carries. However, many Rishonim take exception to accepting such a Pshat, because they say that the Elyoyne Shalzov, anything that the Zov carries or causes to move, is in the category of Tumas Hesed. And Tumas Hesed is a full-fledged Tumah, it's an Ava Tumah. So that can't be what is meant over here. And therefore they explain that the definition of Elyoyne Shalzov is not something that the Zov directly move, but it's something that the Zov caused to move. Different examples I've seen given by the Rishonim. One is that, let's say there was the Zov sat down on one side, despite leader, and the Zov the same, sat on one side of the scale, and he caused the other side of the scale to go up, that would be considered the Elyona Shel Zov. Or if the Zov was carrying a number of packages on top of his head, one on top of the other, so only the package that was directly on top of him would be considered Tumas Hesed. All the other packages would be considered Elyona Shel Zov. Or if somebody didn't carry something directly, he only carried it sort of in an indirect fashion, it would be considered Elyona, it would be also in the category of Elyona Shel Zov. Ask the Gemara, and Elyona Shel Zov Menolah. From where do we know that the Elyona Shel Zov has this category of Tumah? Says the Gemara, the Ksib, because the Pasuk says, V'chol Negeya, V'chol Asheyir Tacht of Yitma. Here the Torah is speaking about a Zov, and the Torah, when it describes the Tumah of the Zov, says, V'chol Negeya, V'chol Asheyir Tacht of Yitma. Ask me my Tacht of. What does the Torah mean with the word Tachtav? What type of Tumah is the Torah trying to describe? Ilema Tachtav the Zov, that it's referring to anything that the Zov sits on. Ask them off for that. I don't need this Pasuk. Misha Shiyiga B'Mishkova Nafka. That we already have another Pasuk to describe that type of Tumah. Says the Mar Ela Anagei. What the Pasuk is teaching us is, B'chol Anagei B'chol Ashiyiga Zov Tachtav. What the Pasuk is teaching us is, that anything that the Zov is below, that means something that's above the Zov, which is another way of saying El Yoyne Shel Zov. And says the Gemara. So now that we've established that the Pasuk is speaking about El Yoyne Shel Zov, continues the Gemara, Nitka Kosev Matuma Chamura, the Torah by, and let's read the words of the Pasuk. The words of the Pasuk are, V'chol Anegeya, V'chol Ashiya Tacht of Yitma, Ara Orif, Vanoise Oisamichabis Begodov, Vrochat Bemayim, Vatamir Orif. So if we look at this Pasuk, the second part of the Pasuk speaks about the Tumas Masa. The first part of the Pasuk speaks about the Tumah that we just described, the Elyona Shel Zov, V'chol Ashinagay, V'chol Ashiya Tacht of Yitma. Now the point the Gemara makes is, if both of these Tumas had the exact same halacha, why would the Torah put them into two separate categories? Why would the Torah separate them? Says the Gemara, the fact that the Torah did separate these two types of Tumah was for the purpose of Nitka Kosev Tumah Chamura V'Vil Deit Tumah Kala. The Torah wanted to say that it's a lesser level Tumah, Lo Melach Shenem Etama Ela Oichlam Mashkin, as we said at the beginning of the Shir, something which is a lower level Tumah, something which is, for example, only a Rishon L'Tumah, is only Matama Oichel V'Mashkin, it's not Matama Odom V'Kalim. And the Torah is teaching us that so too is the Halacha and the Elyona Shel Zov that has this lower level Tumah that only has this degree of Tumah. Ask the Gemara. Yes, we've been able to explain that the Torah, by writing what it did the way it did, was clearly trying to teach us that the Zov should, that the Elyona Shel Zov should be a different category of Tumah than the Masa Hazov. But why do we say that it's being pulled down to such a low level Tumah? Eima nitka kosma Tumah Chamura. Maybe what the Torah meant to do was, the Lamatama Odom Latam Begodim, the Halacha is that Tumas Masa is such a high level Tumah that not only does the person who carries the Zov, or the item carried by the Zov, a person carried by the Zov, become Tamei, but even the clothing that he wears becomes Tamei. Avil, here, we'll say, when we speak about the Elyona Shel Zov, that the Tumah will be a lower level Tumah, that it won't be Matama, the clothing that he wears, or if somebody touches the clothing, it won't be Matama, the person who's wearing those clothing, but they do have the Tumah, but the Elyona Shel Zov does have the capacity, which means, in other words, we're saying that what the Torah means to say is that the Elyona Shel Zov is a type of Tumah that doesn't have the ability to be Matama Odom V'Kalim at all.
Ask the Gemara, why explain that way? Maybe what we'll say that the Torah meant to say is that it's not metama. Maybe what it means to say is that it's not metama the clothing that a person wears, but it is metama at least the person. Amakra answers the Gemara. The Torah, by using the word yitma, comes to teach us tuma kalamashma, a low level tuma that's not metama adam kalam at all. And I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Torah could have used the word tame. The fact that the Torah didn't just use the word tame, the fact that the Torah used the word yitma is coming to teach us this special point that it has this low level tuma. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the Malbim, in fact the Rishonim already said this pshat as well, that whenever the Torah uses the word yitma, what the Torah means to do with saying the word yitma is that it's a type of tumah that's only metama oichlen amashkin, it's not metama odom v'keil. Ask the Gemara, v'tachtoyne shabayel nidam enola. What we've said is that the elyoyne shozov is compared to the tachtoyne shabayel nidam, and that the tachtoyne shabayel nidam is also only metama oichlen amashkin, not under the kelim. How do we know that? The Tanya says the Gemara, because the pasuk says regarding an individual who had relations with a nida. So the words of the Torah are imshachav yishkav ish oisa v'tehei nidasa olav v'tamei shivas yamim v'kalamishkav asher yishkav olav yitma v'tehei nidasa olav yachal yalul ragla. We'll discuss this later. That means we would think that whatever day the nida is up to, that should be the halacha of the person who has relations with the nida. So if, as we've been learning, a nida is tamei for 7 days, what we would say is that, let's say when the person has relations with the nida, it was on the 5th day of her account, so he should be considered as he's up to the 5th day. Yachol yalul ragla tamloim v'tamei shivas yamim. Whoever has relations with a nida is tamei independently for 7 days. He starts a new count of 7 days. And we'll discuss this later more. Umat hamaloymer, what does the Torah mean to say, b'tehei nidasa olav? Yochalo yitama odam klicheres. We would say that a boil nida does not have the capacity of being matama odam klicheres. And the reason we would think so, explained Rishonim, is as we've been saying, an odam, it's very hard to be metaman odom. And klicheres have a special halacha that a klicheres has only become tamei normally mitoichoi, not by touching it on the outside, but only from inside. So we would think that this boil nida does not have the capacity to be metama this way. Tameloimer, v'tehei nidasa eila olav. So the Torah uses the words by a boil nida of a tehei nidasa olav, mam he metama adam klicheres, just like she is metama adam klicheres, af hu so to he, the boil nida is metama adam klicheres. Continues the braisa. If so, we would perhaps think, imahi oisa mishkav emoshel tam adam tam begodim, that the mishkav emoshel of a nida is a very serious tumah, and that the person who sits on the mishkav emoshel of a nida becomes tamei. And not only does that person become tamei, but even the clothing that he wears become tamei. Af hu, maybe by the boil nida the halacha ought to be the same way. Oisa mishkav emoshel tam adam tam begodim, that the mishkav emoshel of a boil nida is matama person. Not only is a matama person, it's matama even the clothing that that person is wearing. Tamaloimer, v'kala mishkav ashishkal of yitma. Shein tamaloimer, v'kala mishkav ashishkal of yitma. We can't, there's no need it to, for the Torah to say it. Because if the Torah, as we said, compares a boil nida to a nida, and if a nida is matama mishkav emoshel, obviously, so too is the halacha of the mishkav and moshav of a boil nida. So why ask the braisa matam loimer the kala mishkav? Why did the Torah have to sing it out to teach us nitgat kasa mituma chamura v'dvila de tuma kala? The Torah wants to teach us that it should not be treated with the full fledged din of a mishkav and moshav of a nida. Loimelach, to teach us and that it doesn't have that full-fledged high-level tuma, shenem tama el oichel mashkin. It's only matama oichel mashkin. It's not matama adam v'keil. Ask the Gemara similarly to what we asked a moment ago. Paragraph achot. Eman nitka kos matuma chamur bevila du tuma kala. Maybe what the Torah meant to do was indeed to take it to a lower level tuma. But what it meant to do was l'tama adam l'tama u'begadim. What it means is that if a person sits on the mishkav of moishiv of a boil nida, the clothing he wears doesn't become tamei. Aval adam, the person himself, or if clothing comes directly in contact with that mishkav, litma, they will become tamei. Who tells us to take it down to such a low level that the mishkav and moishiv of a boil nida are not mitama adam akelim at all? Answers the Gemara as it did a moment ago. Amar Rav Achsi Yitma Tuma Kala Mashma. The word Yitma, as we explained, comes to teach us that it's a low level Tuma that's not Matama Odom Kalim at all. Ask the Gemara, Ema, maybe the way to understand the Pasuk is Tehani Das of Olav is a cloud, the Kala Mishkov is a Prat, and we have a rule, the Klal of Prat, Ema Klal El Mashma Frat, that when you have first a general Pasuk, and then you have a detail, what the Torah means to say is that the detail is defines the klal. And what the Torah meant to do say with that is, Mishkav Moshevin, that the only tumah that applies by a boil nido is the tumah Mishkav Moshev, and Midachrin Eloi, and no other tumah. And therefore, on the contrary, should only Mishkav Moshev should be tumah, not the all other types of tumah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, but tumah Shivas Shavim Mafsakim. Abaye says that we can't use this pasuk to be taught as a klal prat, because let's read the words of the pasuk. The pasuk said, "V'shachav yishkav ish oisav v'ti nidas olav v'tamei shivas yamin v'shkal amishkav ashiv of yitma." So since the Torah put in the word v'tamei shivas yamin in between. Since the Torah put those words in between, so it falls into the category of klal prat hamruchakim zemizeh, they're not next to each other, and says Abaya, kol prat prat hamruchakim zemizeh, when the klal prat are right, not right next to each other, ain't done as a klal prat, they're not to be treated as a klal prat. Rav Amma, Rav says lo'elam domin. What it means to say here is that it should be treated. The fact that they're in one parasha, even though there's words interrupting, does not prevent us from learning it as a klal prat. And as the Rishonim explain, wherever the klal is in one parasha and the prat is in another parasha, everybody agrees that it cannot be treated as a klal prat. The machloket is between Abaye and Rava is when the klal and prat are in one parasha, but they're not right next to each other. Abaye says that is enough of a reason that they should not be treated as a klal and prat. Whereas Rava says, as long as they're in one parasha, they could still be treated as a klal and prat. So we're back to where we started. If according to Rava, it can be treated as a klal and prat, why don't we say that the Torah is coming to teach us, on the contrary, that the only tumah that applies by a boil nida is the tumah mishkav and moishiv? Answers the Gemara, because the Torah used the word v'kol, so the word v'kol ha-mishkav ha-shishkav comes to be marba, the other type of tumah, not just tumah mishkav and moishiv. It should not be treated as a klal prat, but it's coming to teach us that odom and klicheres are tumah. And as the Rishonim explain, throughout Shas, we have a machloikus very often. When we have this type of a pasuk, how does the Torah look at this type of pasuk? Does the Torah look at this type of a pasuk as a klal prat, or does the Torah teach us that we should look at it as a rigui miut? Says the Gemara, and the Gemara we've learned many times has this discussion how it should be viewed. What the Gemara now is saying is that even though we have this question and many times we don't know if it should be treated as a klal prat or as a ribui miut, it's clear to the Gemara that in this situation it should be treated as a ribui miut. continues the Gemara, Maskov, Rav Yaakov asks Rav Yaakov, but since the Torah compares the boil needed to Nida, Emekihi, why don't we completely compare him to her? Mahi, just like when we speak about the Nida, Lechemak by Magal Mishkova, Latam of Adam, Latam of Godin, the Chumra, a Nida has all of these Tumma, Af who, so too, we should say when we speak about the man, Lechemak by Magal Mishkova, Latam of Adam, Latam of Godin, Lakula, since the Torah compares the boil needed to the Nida. So just like when we speak about the Nida, the Tumas Maga and the Tumas Mishkov of a Nida are identical, so too the Tumas Maga and the Tumas Mishkov and Moshev of a boil Nida should all be the same. And therefore, if a boil Nida touches someone, that person should not become Tameh. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Olav. The Torah says the word Olav, Latino Mashma. It comes to add on him Tuma, and the Torah is teaching us that the word Olav comes to teach us that if a boil Nida touches someone, that person becomes Tameh, and not only he becomes Tameh, but even the clothing that he's wearing also becomes Tameh. So the Mishnah said that the Kutim are Boilei Nidus. When they say Boilei Nidus, ask the Gemara, are the Kule Boilei Nidus? Is it true that all Kutim are Boilei Nidus? Amrav Yitzchak Migdala B'Nesu Shana. All Kutim who are married, we have to be concerned, are considered Boilei Nidus. For as we learned in the Mishnah, since we need to be concerned that the women, the Kutim women, aren't really that familiar with the halacha, or aren't that familiar with the halachas of Nida, and aren't that familiar with the halachas of Dam Nida, we have to be concerned that she became Tamei only later, because she considered a yellow color to be Tamei as well. The first we discuss this name of Yitzchak Magdala. One pshat is that I saw that he came from the city of Migdala. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia where he said something regarding the halacha of Migdol. And Rabbi Yitzchak was an individual who's not mentioned that often throughout Shas. And somebody who's not mentioned that often was called by the name of the halacha that he was famous for. And he was famous for the halacha regarding Migdol. That's why he was called Rav Yitzchak Migdala. We learned in the Mishnah, as we just mentioned, that since Kutim women don't know to distinguish between the different colors of Dam, so therefore, whatever color they express, they sit Dam Nida. Tanya Amar Meir. Imhein Yoshvis are called Dam V'Dam. If the Kutim women are so careful that for every type of dam that they express, they consider themselves Nida, Takana Gdoila, you ahead. So why are we strict with them? On the contrary, that shows that they're very careful with Hilchas Nida. And if they're so careful with Hilchas Nida, we should take a different approach, says the Gemara. Ela Shiroyas Dam Adar, Mashlimis Oysel Dam Yerek. As we explained, they express Dam Yerek. And as we learned earlier in Amasechta, Dam Yorik, yellow blood, is not Matama. But since they treat all Dam as if it was Tamei Dam, they start counting the 7 days from the Dam Yorik. And once 7 days pass, if they're not seeing Dam anymore, they consider themselves Tor. But they really started seeing Dam Edoim, they really started seeing red blood only days later, and therefore the 7 days ended later, and they made that mistake. Dover Acher, says the Gemara, another mistake that the Kuta made. They make the mistake, Yom Shepes Sakas by Sefaris Laminyan Shiva. The day that the last day, they treated as Mitzvah Yom Kikulei. And they say that the last day that they saw Dam is also considered a day, a day of stopping to see Dam. That means a woman who's a Zava that needs Zayin Nekiyim. So the last day, the day that she stops seeing Dam, even though she saw Dam part of that day, but she didn't, even though she saw Dam for part of that day, but she didn't see Dam all that day, they already consider that day as day one of the Zayin Nekiyim, when it actually is not yet day one of the Zayin Nekiyim. Masko la Rav Chama. Ask Rav Chama, why not? Petisperena. What they're doing should be considered fine. And actually, he says, Vanan Naminis Berei. And we should also perhaps act that way. Because don't we have a rule throughout Shas that mixes a yod kula? And therefore, part of the day she was tar, that should be enough. Amar Rava. Says Rava, if you are correct, Im Kain, Shechva Zera, the source of Aziva Hecha Mishkachsla. We've learned that the halacha is that if during the Zayin Nekiyim of Azov he has an emission of Shechva Zera, the halacha is that that day isn't counted for the Zayin Nekiyim. Again, to review, the halacha is that a male who has two Riyas is considered Azov, and he has to have Zayin Nekiyim. And we learned and will learn that the halacha is if during those Zayin Nekiyim, during one day he has an emission of Keri, of Shechva Zera, he doesn't lose all 7 days, but that one day is considered as if he is Tamei. Now, the question is, if we say Mitzvah Sayyar Kekuloi, so if he saw Dam, but then he was clean, so why is that not considered a clean day? Answers the Gemara, Ida Chazoi Pagli Yoyma, if he saw the middle of the day to Shechva Zera, and then there's still time remaining in that day for him not to have seen Dam, Hachinami, then you are indeed correct that such a person should be able to consider that a clean day. Hachamai Skinem, the Chazoi L'Shavach L'Shkiyah Sechama. Let's say it was the third day of his Zayin Nekiyim, and close to the Shkiyah is when he had that emission, and there was no longer any time left during that day that he was clean, and that's why we can't call that day a clean day. Ask the Gemara, V'leikim V'leimela L'kra, does that mean that we're going to explain the Pasuk? That when the Torah says that a Zov who sees Shechva Zera during the Zayin Nekiyim, that day doesn't count, is only referring to a situation, ki ksiva, that the Pasuk is only speaking about a situation of Sirmach L'Shkiyah Sechamek Ksiva, that's the entire case of the Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, in Akar Keshavka L'kra D'Iv Dochuk, you have no other way of explaining the Pasuk other than saying that the Pasuk is referring to such a situation, because otherwise we'll have a problem with the concept of Mitzvah Sayyar Kekula. However, all the Rishonim say that even though we're saying that the halacha is Mitzvah Yom Kekulai, and we're explaining now that the Pasuk is referring to a situation where he saw only at the Shechva Zera during the Zayin Nekiyim towards the end of the day, that isn't the halacha. And that the halacha actually is that if he sees Shechva Zera any time during any day of the Zayin Nekiyim, the halacha will be that he's considered that that day doesn't count. I asked the Mefarshim, isn't there indeed a halacha of Mitzvah Sayyar Kekulot? So what do we do with that halacha of Mitzvah Sayyar Kekulot? So Mefarshim explained that when do we say Mitzvah Sayyar Kekulot, even though throughout halacha we normally say Mitzvah Sayyar Kekulot, here we don't say Mitzvah Sayyar Kekulot. Because what the Torah wants is a clean day. And as soon as the day is not completely clean, that day can't be counted towards Zayin Nekiyim. And therefore, even if we say Mitzvah Yom Kekulai, we can't apply it over here. Ask the Gemara. By Rabbi Bachama, Peletas Shechva Zera Masha Tista B'Ziva. Which means as follows. We just said that a woman, if she has a Riyah, 3 consecutive days in her 11 Ziva day cycle, again, to repeat a halacha that we've learned many times, the life of a woman is a cycle of 7 days and 11 days, and if during those 11 first 7 days of Nida, then 11 days of Ziva, And if during those 11 days of Ziva, the woman saw for 3 consecutive days, she becomes a Zava Gedoyla, and she has to have Zayin Nakim. So ask the Gemara, what will be the halacha if during those 7 days she expresses semen that came into her system because she had relations with her husband? Now, all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. The halacha is that a woman can't have relations with her husband when she's a nida. And we just finished saying, or when she's a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yohim. So ask all the Mefarshim, let's think about this woman. This woman who's a Zava obviously could not have had relations with her husband for the last 10 days. First the 10 days of Ziva, the 7 days of Nida, and the 3 days of Ziva. And Sheikh Fazer, as we're going to see, only remains viable for 3 days. So how could we ever have such a situation? So the pshat that Rashi learns is that we're here referring to a woman who did the wrong thing. Indeed, she wasn't supposed to have relations. She's a Zava. The Gemara is asking a woman who did the wrong thing and had this relations even though she wasn't supposed to. Another pshat is that I saw that it's the last day of her Yemei Nida V'Ziva, that the halach is that on that day we've learned she's not really supposed to go to the mikveh, not really have relations with her husband till the end of the day. But that's what she did. She did have relations before she was supposed to. And now the question is, how do we treat her? Many Rishonim, however, have a hard time accepting these Peshatim. Because these Peshatim mean that the woman did something wrong. And that's why it's hard to say that the Gemara is speaking about such a woman. And they say that we're speaking about a case that where there was time. They come up with all sorts of solutions how there is time for this dam to be here, that she could have had a legitimate she could have had relations permissibly. So again, ask the Gemara. Plata Sheikh Azara Masha Tista Baziva. Roya Haisa, do we say that since she has this emission that Seiseris, it takes away the Zayin Nakiyim? Idema Ligayas Haisa, that the tumma of Sheikh Azara coming out of a body is not considered a Tumas Riyah, it's considered a Tumas Nagiyah, and Tumas Nagiyah Lo Sasa. And as the Rishonim explain, certainly, as long as the Sheikh Azara is in her body, that is considered, that can't be matama, because that's the category of Tumas Beis Astarim. Now, Tumas Beis Astarim is not matama. The question here is when it comes out of her body. Amar Rava, says Rava, Lefum Churfa Shebeshta, because he's so sharp, he makes a mistake. He's so sharp, he's such a big time, he's so smart, he could make a mistake. He thinks too much. Actually, I saw an interesting tshuva for Ramosha. Ramosha there discusses an individual who's not well and is being cared for by the best doctors. And now there's discussion to bring another doctor for a consultation who's not necessarily of the same caliber as the doctor that is treating this patient. Says Ramosha, sometimes there's an advantage in bringing that type of doctor, because the greater doctor may be too smart, and Agamar uses the concept of Fum Cherfe Shabeshta. Says the Ranai Nami Distur. Let us indeed say that because she has this discharge, it should cancel Zayin Nakiyim. Kamatista. But how many days do you want that this Shifa Zera should take away? Tista Shiva, that it means that she should have to start the Zayin Nakiyim all over. But ask the Mardai Kabbalah, where does the Shifa Zera emanate from? The Shifa Zera emanates from the man. What is the halacha on the man? The halacha on the man is, as we just said a few moments ago, that if a man has a discharge of Shifa Zera while he is counting his Zayin Nakiyim, it's only one day that it interrupts. It doesn't take away the entire Zayin Nakiyim. Tis the Yom Echad. So we'll say, fine, that the Shechva Zera that comes out of this woman should be like the Shechva Zera of the man, and it should only interrupt one day, says the Gemara. But the Torah, when it speaks about a Zava, says Acha Tita Amrachmana, Acha Achla Kulam, that there has to be one single unit of Zayin Nekiyim, and they can't be that one day falls away. Says the Gemara. If that's the way you're going to explain the pasuk, then we have a different question. Zav gufei hechi sasa. How does a zav? How is the halacha by a zav that if he has shich v'zera, it only takes away one day? Doesn't the Torah use the similar type of wording by a zav as it does by a zava? L'tarasa amrachmana. The Torah uses that wording by a zav as well, and we're saying now by a zav that it means shleitei tumah masekis by nayam, that there should be no tumah in between. El mayes l'chomema. What does the Torah mean? That what the Torah means to say is that if there's a emission of ziva during the Zayin Nekiyim, they will break the Zayin Nekiyim. Any other emission doesn't break the Zayin Nekiyim. Hakanami will say the same thing by a zava, that shloitei tuma ziva mafsek b'neim. That when the Torah uses the word for achat titter, what the Torah means is that if there has to be seven straight days, seven consecutive days of no Riyah Ziva, but if there's a Riyah of Shechva Zera, it may taka well be that that will only take away one day, but not all 7 days. And what will be the halacha? The Gemara doesn't answer this question. The Gemara doesn't answer what will be the halacha of Shechva Zera by Azov. However, Taisus says, because of our Gemara, that our Gemara says that we have here a concern of Shechva Zera, and what Shechva Zera does in terms of the Ziva and in terms of the Zayin Nekiyim, says Taisus are very bechiddish, and as we learned a little earlier, as we said a little earlier, that the halacha is that a woman who sees Shechva Zera of a woman put into a woman is viable for 3 days after it is put into a woman's body. Therefore, a woman should not start counting her Zayin Nekiyim until 4 days have passed, until the fourth day, that we could be sure that any Shechva Zera that's in her body is no longer viable. Comes along the Trumas Adeshin that since we can't be sure, because let's say they had relations right before Bein HaShemashos or right after Bein HaShemashos, and there could be confusion. That's why the Trumas Adeshin Paskins, and this is the halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, that a woman doesn't begin to count Hazayin Nekiyim until 5 days pass. That's the famous halacha, that we don't begin Zayin Nekiyim until the fifth day after she sees her period, because we have to be concerned that maybe she saw dam right before, maybe she had relations right before she became a Nida, and the Shechva Zera would interfere in the Zayin Nekiyim. Comes along the Marik and takes this even a step further. All the concern that we just quoted from the Taisus and the Trumas Adeshin is only because the woman might have had relations right before she became a Nida. But what happens if the woman didn't have relations right before she became a Nida? She hasn't had relations with her husband for a while. So then we don't have to be worried about any Shechva Zera. Still, says the Marik, Loi Plod, and as we know, that is the halacha, that we don't begin the Zayin Nekiyim until after 5 days. There are, however, poskim, and this is certainly not the purpose of this shir, and this should be discussed, that if a woman is having problems getting pregnant, because by the time she finishes counting these 5 days, and then the Zayin Nekiyim is past the time that she ovulates, one should discuss that shalom with the Rav, if there are ways of the Zayin Nekiyim, there's no way of avoiding, but if we could be lenient on the different shittas of Taisus and the Trumas Adeshin that we just quoted. Says the Gemara, Papa Ikla Tavach. A Papa came to the city of Tavach. He asked, is there any big Talmud Chacham in this city? I will go and greet him. Which means, as the Ben Yoyada explains, that he went to the Beis Medrash and he didn't really see anybody that really impressed him. So he tried to see if in town there's a great Talmud Chacham. Only he sat up. So there was a woman. I saw the Mefarsha make an interesting observation. From here we see that the people who are truly experts in being able to determine who a person is, you should ask a woman. There's a great Talmud Chacham. His name is Rav Shmuel. V'tani Masnissen. He's a teacher of Mishnayos and Braises. Yei Rav Teikav Osei. And she gave him a bracha that you should be like him. So Mefarshim asked, how is this woman so able to be an expert, a maven, to say that this person is such a great Talmud Chacham, or such a great person? So the Mefarshim explained that this is a person that had a lot of chayim. This is a person that everybody liked. And from here we see that a person that everybody likes must be a person who's a Yerushmayim. The Gra says, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Sheruach HaBriyos Noicha Himenu, Ruach HaMokom Noicha Himenu. So she said, if I see that everybody respects and likes this person, he must be a Yerushmayim. The Sfarim say that Yaakov Avinu said that whenever we bench our children, we say Yisimcha Lekim Kafrayim K'menasha, that Ephraim and Menashe were great Yirei Shemayim. And that's what we should have in mind when we bless our children, that they should be Yirei Shemayim. Yei Rav Dehei Kavosei, Oma, Midakon Varkla B'Kavei, if she's speaking so highly about him, Shemayim no Yirei Shemayim, it's a proof that he's a great Yirei Shemayim, Ozla Gavei, I want to go meet him. Ramalei Tura, so when her papa came to him, Rav Shmuel slaughtered an axe, and Ramalei Masnisa Adodi, and he asked him a stira in two Mishnayos. Tanat, we just learned in our Mishnah, Ein Chayavim Al Abiyas Mikdash, that this person who has a Safek Tumah is not Chayiv going into the Beis HaMikdash, Vein Safek Alei Masa Tumah, and we don't burn Tumah if he comes in contact with the Tumah. We can't be certain that he was Matam of the Tumah. Neshe Tumah Soi Safek. Alma, what do we see from here? Misfeke loy safina truma. Verminu, as shisha sfeke safina truma, as safek big day amaris. So as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara's question is not that, here we see that you don't burn on a safek, here we see you do burn on a safek. Because we do find different situations that Chazal treated differently. The issue here is that why are we machmer, why do we treat the kuti like? We treat the kuti like an amaretz. And that's why this Mishnah, the second Mishnah we just quoted, indeed says that we burn truma when they come in contact with the big day amaretz. Yet in our Mishnah it says that we don't. Answers the Gemara. Amar Papa, so Papa responds. Hashem should help that we should be able to eat this axe that you slaughtered in peace. Hakamai Skinen was speaking about a kuti chaver. A Mishnah is speaking about a kuti chaver, and a chaver we know is careful not to treat which dam is tamei and which dam is not tamei, explains Taisus, and therefore we have to be stricter and not burn the truma that he comes into contact with. Ask the Gemara, if you're saying that our Mishnah is talking about a kuti chaver, kuti chaver boil neither match with slate? If Amish is treating the kuti and Amish like he's a boil neither, and here you're concerning him a kuti chaver, shafke. So Rashi says, Rapapa was embarrassed and he left. Vasla kamed Rasini Barashi, he went to Rasini Barashi, and the Farshim would say that obviously Rasini Barashi lived in a novel city, because if Rasini Barashi lived in this city, he would have never gone to this Rav Shmuel in the first place. Amalei. So Rav Shmuel actually said to Maile Tamalei Mashmasle, why don't you respond to him? The Kuti Shatava V'Olav Adoras Abig Dechavar. Our Mishnah is speaking about a Kuti who went to the Mikvah and then
went and came in contact with the begotten of a chaver, but also bring the chaver of another truma, and that those begotten then touch truma. The mishum tumas amaritz, if we're going to say because the kuti is considered like an amaritz, and that's why he's metame the begotten. Here, that concern doesn't exist because hatavalei, he just came out of the mikvah. The mishum boil nida, and if you're going to say we have to be concerned that he's a boil nida, there are a lot of reasons to be lenient here. Safak baal b'karav, safak loy baal b'karav. There's a question if he had beer with his wife recently, and he's tameh, could we consider his wife a nida? And, or maybe he didn't have relations with his wife recently. And therefore, even though, as we learned earlier, a boil nida is tameh for 7 days, it may be 7 days since he had relations with his wife. Vimtim Tzlaiman, even if you'll say baal b'karav, that he had relations with his wife in the last 7 days. Safek ishlim masa yarek, safek lo ishlim masa yarek. Maybe his wife indeed was following the hilchos nida properly, and therefore it's a svek sveka lo safkina truma. The farshim bring a raya from here. They could say a svek sveka, even though it refers to two different people. The safek baal b'karav, safek lo baal b'karav, is a question on the man. The suffix on Shlimasa Yarek, suffix Lai Shlimasa Yarek, is a question on the woman, yet these two sfakas combined for a svek sfaka. But ask the Gemara, Metepetelei, Mishum Begdei Amaretz, why don't we say that the godim of the schaver automatically become tamei because they came in contact with the clothing of an Amaretz? Domamar, Begdei Amaretz, Medrash Lepushim, that the godim of Amaretz become automatically tamei as far as chaverim are concerned? Answers the Gemara, Amalak, we're going to explain that's talking about a kuti arum, and that he wasn't wearing any clothing, and that's why there's nothing to be concerned about his clothing being metama, the clothing of the chaver. The Mefarshim say that the Gemara could have also given a teretz that it's talking about yontif, and as we're going to learn later in the perek, the halacha is that the big day of ma'aretz are not tamei on yontif. So Mefarshim say the Gemara didn't want to say that teretz because it seems that this is talking, that our Mishnah is referring to all times, not strictly regal. And another pshat that I saw is that leniency maybe is by tzedakim, who we're about to speak about, not by kutim. The tzedakim were individuals who only believed in Torah Shabbat, not Torah Shabbat. So says the Mishnah, the night tzedakim, as much in the left of the dark of the same, when they follow in the path of the fathers, that they are makbid on any type of dam, harek kutis, we treat them like tuti. Hershel lots of dach Yisrael, but if they act properly, harek Yisraelis. Yosi Omer, loyal men to Yisrael, they always treated like Yisraelis. Achi yifreshulahen b'dach avisay. Until we know that they're acting not like they're supposed to be acting like tzaddikim. Ibayu, ask the Gemara Stam Amai. If we have a woman who's a tzaddikis and we don't know how she acts, how should we treat her? Toshma, so the man wants to bring right, said in our Mishnah. But not Stoikim, this man, Shinagas Lats Badaka, the same, Arain Kikutios. So it seems only when we know for sure that they're acting like their forefathers, Hostama, Ki Israelis. Ask them more, we could say the other way around. Ema Sefer, Pirsha Lats Badaka Yisrael, only if they're acting like Yisrael, that we know for sure that they're acting properly, that's when we can treat them like Israelis. Hostama, Kikutius, otherwise we treat them like kutius. Says the Gemara, Elamaha, from Amishnah Lekla Mishmina, as the Rishonim explained. There's certainly one statement in our Mishnah that is the definitive statement, and that the other statement was only mentioned because of the first statement. We're just not sure which of the two statements is the more definitive, is the definitive statement. So Toshma. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, it's not of Yosef Omer, loyal men to Yisrael is actually official and darker the same. We always treat them like Yisraelis until we know that they act like their forefathers. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that we treat them leniently, that they're innocent until proven guilty. Achlal, the Tanakhana saw the Stam Kikutius, that until we know for sure that they're acting properly, we have to be concerned that they are acting like the Kutim. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama that Stama Kikutius.